I didn't know this, but you can go to a trophy shop where they make trophies and awards, and you can actually have an award made for you, a nice statue or something, or a certificate of appreciation. You can print that up on your computer and put your name on it. I thought you had to be given these things, that they were awarded to you and you had to wait and earn them. Now I find out that for a relatively small amount of money, I can make up trophies for myself and give them to myself. Well, this makes a lot of sense. So, I have a number of awards that I've been given to myself that I'd like to tell you about. I am one of the largest award winners in the country now.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Yeah, it's true.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm the world's best golfer.
Whatever.
I got an award for it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Jolene. Thank you, Jolene. Yes, I have over 17 bowling trophies, and I don't even bowl. That's how good I am. Hey, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you here. Just to have you nearby is very comforting for me. We don't have to hug or anything like that. You know huggers? Do you know some huggers where instead of saying hello, they hug you? That's sexual harassment to me. I don't know you well enough to embrace you. And then I have a problem with embracing, similar to handshakes, but not so bad with handshakes, because I can let go on a handshake, and a handshake's over. But when someone comes over to hug you, and there's an embrace, and then they hug you hard, and you have to hug them hard back, it's the rule. I never know, like, if you start letting go, and they don't let go, then it gets very awkward. So hugging to me is like, let's lay some ground rules first. Can we have a meeting about the hug first? How long is it going to last? How intense? What's the intensity level of the hug? Will there be hand movement on my back while the hug is taking place? Will there be padding involved? Will there be a padding on my shoulder? I mean, what kind of hug are we doing here? Because I can't, it's kind of like you do it and then I reciprocate. You do it and I reciprocate. You know, you hug harder, I hug harder. You pat me on the back, I pat you on the back. It's just like, this is silly. This is silly. We need to lay ground rules before we engage in this. And hugging is a very extreme measure of closeness. Your face is like really close to my cheeks. And that's something we need to discuss. We're taking our bodies and we're pressing them up against each other. And then with an embrace, we're squeezing our bodies together. This is an extreme action. This is about as close to sex as one of us is probably going to get for a long time. So let's not take hugging lightly. Now, most people just give the light little hug. They hug for 2 seconds and then they release. I don't understand the point of that. What that's gratuitous. That's a tease. That's like, oh, I want to be close to you, but no, really not. I mean, I don't understand the whole hugging thing. I've told you on previous podcasts that my favorite method, which no one employs, is the bow. It's an Oriental culture thing where you can take your hands and cup them together if you wish. You don't have to. But you take your body and you bow forward for no more than like 3 seconds, and then you get it's a show of honor and respect, which is all this stuff really is. I love the bow. There's no touching. You don't even have to be close to each other. As a matter of fact, if you are too close to each other, you're going to knock your heads together. That's the awkward part of the bow. But bowing's fantastic, but nobody does it here. Our things are like major contact things, like the high five. I've talked about that before. I have no reason in the world to, in a friendly gesture, start slapping your hands. I don't need to slap your hands with my hands. And why does the high five have to be so? Bring it down, man. Make it a low five. Some people aren't as tall as you. What is that? What kind of act of violence is that to slap each other? That's a showing of solidarity? I didn't get that at all. No, the bow is really the way to go. But nobody does it. If I started the bow, people would think I'm strange. Also, the bow tends to be, how can I put it? You have to be in the proper body position to do the bow. You can't be walking and then bow as you're walking because that's awkward. You could fall down. You got to plant them. You got to plant the feet and then bow. It's a little bit more involved. The handshake you can do on the fly. You can just as you're moving and not even stop. The bow is more of a commitment, but it shows more respect than these other things. But the hug, man, confusing me with the hug. I don't know what you want from me. What do you want with the hug? Do you want closeness? Or is this a gratuitous thing again? I'm sick of gratuitous. We don't do anything anymore for the reason that we're supposed to do them. We do them gratuitously. It's like Facebook. Ooh, don't get me started. Did you bring up Facebook? Don't get me started on the Facebook thing. It has now been 3 months since I've been on Facebook, and rightfully so. I have no idea what my Facebook friends are doing. And you know what? I guess I never really needed to know in the first place, because my life is a little bit freer and a little more enjoyable without listening to your crap every day. So sad about Susan. Tough. I'm not Susan. What do you want from me? I don't even know who Susan is. You put too much information on your stupid Facebook page. It's people trying to impress each other. I have over 1,000 friends. Oh, really? Name them. Well, I can't. I don't know them. These are your friends, huh? These are your friends, huh? Well, yeah. Sally Walkerman, I have no idea who she is. She's a friend of my sister's cousin's friend's friend who works in the same building as this lady. She's a friend of mine. She'd take a bullet for me. What are you talking about? You don't know this woman. You realize that 90% of your friends on Facebook, you have no idea who the hell they are. You've never met them before. Sometimes you don't even know what they look like. They just post a picture of a monkey on a tree because they think that's a cute little thing for them. You don't even know what they look like. I wouldn't have a Facebook friend. I wouldn't accept a Facebook friend on my Facebook page unless I did extensive background search on them. I want to know your political views, what you do for a living, if you live in a box, how you feel about everything. And once you pass that, I want to know your background, your education, your wants and needs. You're vegetarian. You're one of those people. Are you gluten-free? I can't become air quote friends with you until I know you're not going to hang out on my page. We're going to hang out. Go somewhere else. I'll hang out on my page. And following somebody, isn't that stalking? What kind of terminology is that? Do you follow her? Excuse me, what are you talking about? I'm not following anybody. Well, people are following you. Well, I better be hiding behind trees, because I don't see them. Not into the Facebook friends at all. Too much information. No. When I did used to go on Facebook, it bothered me greatly. It really did. It made me feel like I was taking on the burden of people I didn't even know. So it was, why? I have enough stresses in my life without worrying about yours, and I don't even know you. How bad is that? Well, you know somebody who knows them. What are you talking about? That's of no significance to anything. What are you talking about? Man, and I don't trust Zuckerberg. I think he just lies in bed and smirks all night and says, I'm screwing everything up and I'm in control. I think this is a kid. This is a kid who I don't believe has reached puberty yet. Probably has a blow-up doll sitting in his laundry room. I mean, I don't know this guy, yet he knows everything about me. It's interesting that on Facebook, they have this thing that Robert is going to the event Build My Pants Sunday night at 2:30 at the Grange Hall. And then they list all the people that are going to this event. Well, if I wanted to rob somebody's house, I'd go, okay, hey, Tuesday at 8 o'clock, let's go to Bob's house. He won't be home. He's telling everybody he won't be home. Or Mitzi says, yeah, we're going to Aruba next week. We'll be gone all week. The keys to the house are under the mat at the front door. There's also a rock about 3 feet away from the back door with the keys under that as well. Why do you give out so much information? Look what happened to Rob Gronkowski, the New England Patriot. His house was burglarized while he was at the Super Bowl. Now, let me tell you something. There's no way that Rob Gronkowski, who plays for the New England Patriots, who were in the Super Bowl, would be home during this period of time. So what happened? His place got robbed. Well, Rob, we knew you wouldn't be home. I mean, you didn't even have to put that on Facebook. We kind of knew you wouldn't be home. Here's the thing I don't understand about this Rob Gronkowski thing. This man makes, I don't know, $50 million a year. I have no idea, but it's in the millions of dollars every single year. And yet, this is true, he has two other roommates in his place. I swear, if you're making $50 million a year or something like that, why the hell would you need roommates? I mean, can't you buy your own place, perhaps? He's in like a townhouse kind of thing. What are you doing? You have all this money and you've got roommates? What are you, 10 years old? What are you doing? What are you, at a hostel in Europe? I mean, what the hell is wrong with you? If I made your kind of money, I would buy a house, flip it when you're not a football player anymore, I guess, buy the house, put the most elaborate security system in the world employed around your house. You got all that money and someone breaks into your house and you have two roommates? What's wrong with you? Do you have no concept of what you're doing? That makes no sense to me whatsoever. Sounds like an inside job. Sounds like Gronkowski actually robbed his own house for the insurance. I'm sorry. Sorry to say it. But what other explanation could there be? No security and two roommates. and you're making $50 million a year. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Something doesn't add up there. Can't figure that out at all. There's a lot of stuff I can't figure out. That's why I do this show. The world is a very confusing place.
It was unbelievably painful.
It was. So I have not engaged in the Facebook thing at all, and now it's a challenge for me. This is the Facebook challenge, where I will not go on it. And I have already deleted most of my information off of my... I have many Facebook pages, because I'm stupid. I would open up a Facebook page and realize, oh, I did that all wrong. And I would open up another Facebook page, and then I'd realize, oh, I did that one all wrong, too. It took me 3 Facebook pages and a business page, 4 Facebook accounts in total, which I'm not supposed to have, I don't believe. Took me 4 of them, 4 active ones, to figure out why I shouldn't be doing this at all. Why I shouldn't even be having a Facebook page. That's just weird. And again, you know, I've said it before, the only thing that's good about a Facebook page, it's not even good, is that when you have your birthday, people congratulate you. But the stupid thing is that most of the people congratulating you on Facebook, you have no idea who they are, and yet they're wishing you a happy birthday. I mean, come on. How insensitive and unconnected can a greeting be? I don't know you. I have no idea who you are. But happy birthday. Wish you the best. Love. Love you. I'd take a bullet for you. And some of the comments from people you don't even know. A happy birthday to a great man and a great person. Wishing you the best always. Jack Nars. Jack, I don't know who you are, but thank you. It's crazy, man. Facebooking. Unbelievable. 70% of what I read on Facebook is angry people. There are people that are pissed about something and want everybody to know that they're pissed about it. I'm not one to talk because I do a radio show that is basically based on things that confuse and piss me off. Okay. But on Facebook, everybody can do that. You can just be pissed off and have everybody appreciate how pissed off you are about a wide range of subjects. Now, I happen to love food. And when I see a perfectly plated dinner, I take a picture of it because I find food to be an art, especially the way that's presented on the plate. But that's not the case with most people who take pictures of food and post it on Facebook. Take a picture of a piece of fried chicken, and they post it, and they said, had fried chicken last night. And that's it. Picture of a piece of fried chicken. I had fried chicken for dinner last night. I don't even understand your point. Is this, why would you, if I'm a Facebook friend, why would you do this to your friend? Why would you think, here's the thing about Facebook. Here's the thing about Facebook. Why do you think anybody cares about what you think? I do a podcast every day, and I know no one cares about what I think, except for a couple of you. But I would have to have real balls to go on Facebook and tell my friends that I had fried chicken last night for dinner. I wouldn't even do that on a podcast. I would not sit here and say, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. I had chicken last night. Good night, everybody. Have a nice day. I had chicken last night. Goodbye. It's odd. Everything's odd. You're odd. It's time for me to hold up a picture of a puppy dog.
Aww.
That always gets your attention. Whenever you're losing them, hold up a picture of a puppy dog.
Aww.
Now here's a picture of fried chicken.
Aww.
Now here's a picture of 5 pieces of fried chicken.
Oh.
I know. Went too far there, didn't I? Too soon? My guest is a celebrated author, Mary Higgins Clark. You know they are a successful author when they have 3 names. It's a sign. If your name is Bob Smith, you probably haven't done too much in your life. But if your name is Mary Higgins Clark, you've appeared at many cocktail parties and are celebrated in some manner just by virtue of the fact that you have 3 names. When you have 3 names, you are someone. And I suggest if you don't have 3 names, get one. Now, my name is Ron. Hi, how are you, by the way? Sounds like the open to an AA meeting, doesn't it? Hi, I'm Ron. Hi, Ron. I'm an alcoholic. All right, okay, good. So are we. So what's the big deal? Anyway, if you stand up at an AA meeting and say you're an alcoholic, what do you think the reaction is?
Yeah, so are we. So, like, what's your point?
But if you just announce it to people that aren't alcoholics, it's far more impactful. If you went to a class reunion after 20 years and you saw Sally over there. Hi, Sally. How are you? What do you do for a living? I'm a civil engineer. What do you do, Ron? I'm an alcoholic. Hi, Ron. I mean, you know, you don't do that. It's different. Anyway, what was my point? Mary Higgins Clark will be joining us. She's a celebrated author. She's written a book called I've Got My Eyes on You. Ooh, that's a little intimidating. She's written many, many books, many features. She's a best-selling author of many series of books. And she's over 90 years old. Whenever we hear that somebody is over 90 years old, I'm not sure what the reaction is supposed to be. Usually, it's good for you, as if, I don't know. I just don't know what I'm supposed to do with that information. Okay, you're over 90 years old. You've been living a long time. What do I do? Do I congratulate you? Do I say good for you? What's my response here? What is expected? Thank you for your service. I don't know what to say. Any more than if someone came up to me and said, "Hi, I'm Joey Buttafuoco, and I'm 40 years old." Okay, good. That's nice. Thank you for telling me your age. It's the same with 90. Good. Glad. That's 90. Good for you. Hello. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Do you bow? Do you hug them? I don't know what to do with them. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. I went to a birthday party for a 2-year-old. That was fun. Somehow, I don't believe babies know you're even there. If you're one of the parents of the baby, then yeah, they probably know through osmosis that you are a parent because you're there all the time. But everybody else, friends, grandparents, other relatives, I truly wonder if that little baby actually really knows who you are. I mean, because they don't really understand. They may understand a little bit of English. They may recognize your face, but I don't really. I'm not feeling the recognition that I would from a person that meets me that totally doesn't care by recognition. I don't think a baby really. I don't think it gives a crap. I mean, I really think a baby's more interested in banging on a pan or something. I don't think they're really. Really care who changes them. Anyway, I don't know how I got on it. Mary Higgins Clark. My name is Ron Van Dam. Now, Van Dam is my entire last name. Some people think my middle name is Van and my last name is Dam. That's happened before. I still get some mail from dear occupant that says, Mr. Dam. Well, I'm not Mr. Dam. I'm Mr. Van Dam. So I don't have a middle name, but I do have that three-word deal going on, which is a little more prestigious than you, name-wise. So I suggest if you don't have three separate words in your name, get one. You can do it immediately. I don't think you have to register a middle name. I think you can just make it up. I really do. I don't think people care. You know, I said, like, what is your name? John Nelson Rockefeller. Okay, whatever. I think the John Rockefeller, the middle name, you can make that up. It doesn't have to be on your license, or you can make it up. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Sounds good. You'll get a job easier. You sure will. If there's a job opening and you have three names, the three words to your name, you'll get the job over the two-word name. Of course. You kidding me? Are you serious? You didn't know that? Where you been? It's true. Give me a high five.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, and that gets you a podcasting high five. It's like a regular high five, but no one knows that you did it. Or cares. Or anything, really.
Hi, Ron.
Hey, good to be with you today. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well today. What part of the country are you in?
Saddle River, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah. I was brought up in Teaneck. You know where that is?
Oh, of course I do.
Yeah.
My rheumatologist is there.
Oh, there you go. There you have it. Yeah. It's a pleasure to speak to you. Mary Higgins Clark is a writer, but not just of, well, you've written books, you've written children's books and all kinds of stuff. I mean, do you ever not write? Are you always writing?
Well, you know, people ask me, why don't you give up? Because I turned 90 on Christmas Eve.
That's great.
I almost fainted when I opened my eyes and said, I'm 90. Dear God.
Yeah, just a number.
But when people say, why are you still writing? Mm-hmm. I say, two very good reasons. Mm-hmm. One, love to write.
Yeah.
Two, I get very well paid for writing.
Well, those are fine reasons.
So I think very good reasons.
Those are very good reasons. Your latest, your books are fun. Your latest book is called I've Got My Eyes on You, and it's one of those, I call it a whodunit. Something takes place, and then it goes through a lot of turns and corners, and we think it's this person, but then maybe it's not. Maybe it's that one. Those are fun things. Does it take a while? Do you set it up before it happens, before you write, or does the writing take you to places?
Oh, no. You have to know where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
The example I use, if William Tell fires an arrow to get an apple off his son's head,
uh-huh,
he better be aiming straight.
I got you.
And in the same sense, writing a book, you've got to have believable characters, a believable situation,
mm-hmm,
and a series of events within it. So sure, there are guide rules for writing suspense,
mm-hmm,
as for anything else. You don't just sit down and dream away. You're working to get the story right.
What kinds of things influence you? I know you've also done some historical writings as well. What kind of things influence you usually? Is it something that you experience, or do things pop into your head that don't even exist?
Oh, as far as an idea for a book,
uh-huh,
sometimes I read something in the paper and say, wait a minute, there's DNA for a story here.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it's just something I overheard that I think there's a story here.
That's fascinating.
It's there's no one answer,
yeah,
to what starts a book.
Okay. Now, before we get into the book itself, I got one more question for you because I'm curious. When you sit down and write, is it always at the same place? Do you write all over the place, or is there a set location where that's where you work?
Well, right now I'm sitting in my office on the third floor of the house, and this is where I always wrote and used the computer. But now my finger has one finger has arthritis in it, so I'm always hitting the wrong keys.
Right.
So now there is a room downstairs that I use as a work area, and now I dictate the story I'm telling, have it retyped, and then edit the retyped edition. So that has worked, too. I miss my big office up here, but there was no point sitting here looking at a computer.
Right.
And I tried talking into it, but it came out gibberish.
Yeah, that's what happens. And then you spend so much time correcting it that it gets silly at a point. Yeah. All right, let's talk about the book itself. Now, this is called I've Got My Eyes on You. It's a girl who drowns in the pool, and it takes many twists and turns as to, well, who did this? What happened? How did this occur? It's fascinating. Do I have the story down pretty good?
Oh, indeed you do. I said it in Saddle River, New Jersey. It's where I live.
Yes.
And I just thought it would be interesting to set it here. And in fact, there is a priest in it. And when our pastor realized I was writing with a priest in it, he said, how about me?
Oh, he said.
So he has a priest in the book.
That's interesting.
And he wants to know who'll play his part in the movie.
Well, I think he wants to play his part in the movie, probably.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow.
But, of course, I showed him every place where he appeared, so he would be happy with the way it went. And he was. So we're looking for the film star.
There we go. Right. I'm sure he had to make sure that he was in a good light all the time, that it wasn't something negative of any sort.
Oh, God, of course.
Of course.
It never would have occurred to me to have anything that wasn't straight on.
Yeah. Very cool. Are you already working on something else, or are you still dealing with this?
Oh, no. You know, Alec Burke and I write the Under Suspicion series that comes out in November.
Oh.
And we are working on that
God. You're the busiest writer in show business here. I mean, my gosh.
Well, I've always enjoyed being busy. And I think I've been busy since I was very young.
Yeah.
Because after my father died when I was 11, there was no money. And I was out babysitting, and then I became a telephone operator from 4 until 7.
Wow.
Hotel Shelton, good afternoon.
Okay.
And I loved, I loved doing this because I could listen in on people.
Yeah.
Which was fun if the board wasn't busy. If you pull out the key just a little bit, then you can turn the switch and be... and be listening in on a conversation.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's sad? The kids listening to this show have no idea what you're talking about, which is, that's unfortunate. But those were fun times, I'll tell you. Hey, you're known as the Queen of Suspense. I'm sure you realize that. That's what you're called.
Well, it's flattering, of course.
Yeah.
Some writer called me the Queen of Suspense after a book, or when a book came out, and my publishers glommed onto it.
Mm.
We're going to use that. You're the Queen of Suspense.
And why not?
It's been an easy crown to wear. I'm delighted.
That's fantastic. Well, the book is called Mary Higgins Clark. I've Got My Eyes on You. And Simon & Schuster, I understand, is a publisher.
They've been my publisher all these years.
Not too shabby.
I never left.
Not too shabby, but, Mary. Nice.
Well, I like it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have time, but the quick story is of the country girl who went to the square dance, and her escort wasn't at her side in a moment. Someone else asked her to dance, and she said, "Many thanks, sir, but I'll dance with the fellow who brung me." Simon and Schuster brung me.
Yes.
So I've always stayed with them.
You've done the dance, and it works. It's a pleasure speaking to you. Again, the book is called I've Got My Eyes on You, and at the same time, pick up her other writings as well. It's a lot of fun. Great conversation. You sound great. I appreciate the time today.
Well, I appreciate being with you. It's always fun to chat with you.
Great. Take care.
Right out.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for enduring me. And my pleasures and my guests and all that stuff. Will you join me again tomorrow? We'll do this again, only I'll say different words and we'll have a different guest and we'll make believe this never happened. I think that's a deal, huh? I wish you peace. Be careful now.